Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It was 1983 when I was, would you believe it, first time I had ever ridden on an airplane. I was 21 years old, and I was heading to Monte Morelos University to do my theology degree, 1983. It was 1984, the summer of 1984, my parents graciously had sent me a ticket to come back home. That's always a good thing when, you know, they want you to come back home. And so I found myself at the Aeropuerto Internacional de Monterrey. That is the international airport in Monterrey, Mexico. And there I was. I was by myself. So they said get there early, about an hour. This would have been the only second time I'd been flying. So I got there real early, like 3 hours before. And I was just standing there. It's a big airport. And I was, you know, checked everything in. And a gentleman approached me. He was wearing a suit, tie, you know. And he said, "Hi, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." And he said, "Where are you going?" "Well, I'm going home." "Where's home?" "L.A. And he said, "Would you do me a favor?" And I said, "Sure, you know, I'll do a favor." And he said, he pulled out a box, sealed. And he said, "Would you take this box to L.A. for me? I'm a businessman, and I need to send some things to my partners in L.A. And, you know, I it's just a little box," and, you know, gave me the whole spiel. And I said, "Sure. I'll take this little box." I only had a little carry-on, so another little carry-on wouldn't be no problem. And he gave me his card. Hopefully it was a real one. And it had his name, you know, and he said, "At the other end, in L.A., you will see..." "By the way, what's your name?" I told him my name. "What's your last name?" I told him my last name. And he said, "Well, in L.A., I'm going to make a call in L.A. When you get off the plane, there'll be somebody there holding your, you know, a cardboard with your last name. You give this box to that man." I said, "That's fine. I could do that." And so I took that box, and when it was time to load, you know, get in the plane, it was different from what it is today. Today, if I would be walking with a box in my hand, they would ask me, "Has this box been in your possession at all time?" And then they would probably ask me, "Did a family member give you this box?" "Of course, no." "Did your dog give you this box?" "No." You know, they cover all the bases because, you know, people are smart sometimes. And they didn't say my grandmother from, you know, and they didn't ask any of that. I got on the plane. You know, today they would have asked you, "Open the box. Let's x-ray everything in the box." And when they finally did all that, they'd probably say, "No, you can't take it because there's 8 ounces of water in there." And so I got on the plane, and then I sat down, and I had that box in my lap, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. I was already nervous because I don't like to fly. As a matter of fact, if there was a highway to Hawaii, that's the one I would take. But I had that box there, and I started thinking, "Oh, could I open this box and then retape it? I want to see what's in here. Money, drugs." You know, I started thinking all these things now. Why didn't I think of those things before? And you know, he said it was a businessman, you know, with papers. Am I going to be chased by, you know, somebody trying to kill me because I have this box? And yeah, all these things going through my head as I was on the plane. You knew it was not a bomb because I'm here. We landed in L.A., and sure enough, I'm walking there. You know, you get your things, and as I'm going out, there's this gentleman in a suit and a tie holding man's seal. Okay? So I was following the instructions. I went to him. I gave him the box. He took the box. He didn't even say thank you. I thought I was going to get some compensation for this. Nothing. He just said thank you. He turned around and disappeared into the crowd. Sometimes we do foolish things, but we don't realize we're doing foolish things until we start thinking about them. Have you ever done a foolish thing? I mean, real foolish, just like this. And you know, if you have, you probably remember, oh, that was foolish. Why did I do that? I mean, I could tell you another one that I did, but I'm not going to. Because that one is more recent. And it's more recent, and I don't even want to go there. And then we say, man, what a fool that I was. When I was in high school, I heard these terms. You, and you know, or you, I don't want to say them because there are kids here, you know. And I know you adults could read. But I heard all these in high school. You know what? It seems like these are terms that are really good with the youth because I still hear them. You walk around. Yes, I'm sorry to say, in Christian education schools, yes, I went to academy for 2 years, 11th and 12th grade, and yeah, I heard these. There. The thing is that three of these terms are really, they were terms that were used in psychology. An idiot, it was a term that was used. And I say used because they're not used anymore. But it's interesting to me how words came about. An idiot in Athens, Greece, okay, was a private citizen. That's who he was. An idiot was somebody that was all to himself. Now in Athens, if you did not participate, if you did not talk politics, you're an idiot. You know, I'm reading that, I'm thinking, man, if that was the case, I would have been their king because I don't like anything that has to do with politics. So that's what it was in Greece. If you just, because in Greece, in Athens, it was considered an honorable thing to be involved in politics. If you were not involved in politics, if you did not run around with all those people that talk politics, then you were an idiot. Imbecile is another term that was used in psychology. And the moron, 1910 was when this term began to be used. And it was really just this. There were IQ levels that they had given to each one of these terms. An idiot had a IQ level below 20. An imbecile, 20 to 49, and a moron was an adult with a mental age between 8 and 12 years old. Okay? Now, that's what this term was used. And again, they're not used anymore, except the youth use them a lot. When they get mad at their friends, you could hear some of these terms being used again. Which brings me to the text this morning. Emeis moroi dia Christon, umeis de chronimoi en Christo. Emeis asthenes, umeis de iskrusoi, umeis en doxu, umeis de atimoi. I like this one better. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You have glory, but we have dishonor. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Because the apostles, when they were preaching the gospel, a lot of the citizens, a lot of the leaders, considered them to be fools. Chapter 17, verse 18. Acts 17, 18. Scripture says, then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. So here we have the Paul preaching Jesus and the resurrection, and people are thinking he's just a fool. He's a babbler, just going around babbling things that don't make sense. Acts 26, verse 24. Same book, chapter 26 and verse 24. Now, as he dismayed his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. They say, Paul, you're a moron. You're a fool to be preaching these things. Preaching about Christ. Have you ever done something foolish to impress a girl or a boy? You know, I know most of us have seen funny videos one time or another. Funny videos are funny because people are making fools out of themselves. It's true. They're trying to impress someone. They're trying to do a funny thing. They're trying to be a superhero. They're trying a new skateboard trick or a new bicycle trick. You know, who in their right mind would jump on a pole going down the stairs with their legs straddled? I think about those things when I see it. And you know what? They're funny because it hasn't happened to you. You notice that about being foolish? That if you're driving down, let's say, I-5, and you see something that has happened to somebody, not serious, but it's funny, you laugh. We laugh. And admit it, we do laugh. Then we catch ourselves and say, oh no, I shouldn't have laughed. I'm a Christian. When it happens to somebody in your family, it's not as funny. But depending on who it is, it can still be funny. But see, the closer it gets to you, the less funny it is. And when it happens to you, that same thing is not funny anymore. What are you laughing at? And these people that, you know, do all these things, they trying to impress somebody else, foolish things. You know, there had been many foolish things in the Bible. You've read the Bible. I could tell you of a few things. Eve contemplating the fruit. If she would have only stopped at contemplating. But the scripture says that she did not only contemplate, she went and took of the fruit and ate. That was very foolish. Well, there was another foolish thing that happened because she then took the fruit to Adam and said, Adam, look, I haven't died. And that nice serpent told me that we are going to be like gods. Wow. You know, I don't know how long the conversation took and how long did Eve, you know, had to talk with Adam to convince him. You know, when my wife comes to me with that nice smile, cute eyes, and says something, it doesn't take me very long for her to convince me. Adam, eat. Okay. That was a very foolish thing. Another foolish thing we see in the Bible is that Pharaoh did not let his people go. That was very foolish. I mean, after that first demonstration of the plague, if he was would have been a smart man, I would have said, oh, let the people go. But it took 9 other tries for him to understand. Samson, he did a very foolish thing, didn't he? He told the secret. To whom? A woman. You know, if I were Samson and my wife was Delilah and she came with those pretty eyes and that smile, I would have probably told her. My hair has to be this long. And if you cut it with this type of scissors and cut it this way, I probably would give it all the details. But that doesn't make it any less foolish. It was a foolish thing that Samson did. David standing there in his palace. What does he do? A foolish thing. He sends for Bathsheba. We studied about the other half this last week. Uriah. David did a foolish thing. And all these people paid for their foolishness. But there's another aspect of foolishness that I wanted to bring to you this morning. I wanted to share with you. Because I believe that true disciples of Christ will become, like the text says, moroi, where our English word moron comes from, fools. A true disciple of Christ will become a fool in the eyes of the world for Christ's sake. I really do believe that. As a matter of fact, there were some prophets in the Old Testament who had signs of certain behaviors that the people looked at them and said, you guys are fools. As a matter of fact, there were the predecessors of fools in the Old Testament. How do you know? Well, take for example in Isaiah 20, verses 2 and 3, the prophet Isaiah was a streaker for 3.5 years. Now, read it for yourself. The Lord asked them to walk naked for about 3 years, predicting the forthcoming captivity in Egypt. Imagine going down Medford. I mean, Ashland, well, they'll allow that. But, you know, predicting the captivity of Egypt. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 4, chapter 4, verses 9 through 15. Ezekiel was asked to lay before a certain stone on one side, which symbolized, you know, the city of Jerusalem. And at first, he said, you are to eat these cakes, this food, and you are to bake it with human waste. And after the Lord had done talking, Ezekiel goes and tells the Lord, I have never defiled myself. And you're asking me to bake and use as fuel human waste. And the Lord says, all right, you could use cow dung instead. And he did. And the prophet listened to what God was asking him to do. What a fool, people would say. What a fool. Hosea. Hosea was asked by God to marry a prostitute. You know, the more I think about this, I could just see my mom's reaction. It would go like this. Hi, Mom. This is my fiance. My mom would look at her, get my ear, and pull me to the other room, and then come back for my father and take both of us to the other room. What do you think you're doing? Oh, the Lord told me to. The Lord? You're crazy. Probably my mom would have said, well, at this time, and this time, I'm more than the Lord, and I'm telling you what to do. But God comes to Hosea, asks him to marry a lady of the street to symbolize, to sort of have a parable. It's a real thing, though. We have a demonstration, okay, to symbolize the infidelity of Israel. And yet these men were fools for God. And they did what they were asked. Take, for example, Noah. Noah was probably seen as a fool, spending all that money to build a boat. He says that water was going to be coming down from the sky. It had never rained before, employing all these people and having a message that the world was going to be destroyed. What a fool. In the eyes of men, he was a fool. But what was he doing? He was being faithful to the call of God. Gideon. Wow. Gideon had some 20,000 people, men to fight. The army that they were going to fight against was, the Bible says it was innumerable, like the sands of the sea. I'm assuming maybe 200,000 some soldiers. 200,000 against 20,000. Do the math. Who's going to win? And then the Lord says, you know, you have too many soldiers. Get rid of some. And the Lord started just getting, he ends up with how many? 300. What a fool. No one in their right mind goes to battle 250,000 against 300. What you do if the Lord asks you to do. You do if you would want to be a fool for God. We have a shepherd boy that goes out and fights a trained commando. 9 foot tall, I mean, big guy. Trained in all kinds of weapons. And here we have this shepherd boy going around with his little stick and a slingshot, and takes on this giant. The brothers were saying, what a fool. The Philistine army was saying, crazy fool. But you see, this little shepherd boy was going in the name of the Lord. When you go in the name of the Lord, you might be a fool in the eyes of the world, but not for God. Moses. Could you imagine? Moses went before the greatest army and the highest general commander-in-chief. And he went in there armed with a stick. That's all that Moses took, a stick, a staff. Could you see him walking in to Egypt with all those guards there guarding the palace and the immense army that the Pharaoh had? Walking in there with a stick. What a fool. Probably some of the soldiers thought as he was they were walking by. But he was being a fool for God. The world will see it as foolishness. But to the Christian, it is called faithfulness. It is called doing what the Lord has asked you to do. And faithfulness requires one ingredient. Faithfulness requires love. And it is love that drives us to do sometimes silly, sometimes foolish and embarrassing things. Would you agree with that? You know, I see teenagers at the mall doing foolish things. And most of the time are the male species that are doing these foolish things. And most of the time, when the male species is doing these foolish things, there's a female species sitting there watching them. We do things out of love. My wife likes to take pictures. She loves pictures. I think she has in her iPhoto about, I don't know, getting close to 50,000 pictures. Yeah. And you know, there are times she's taking care of the kids and she asks me, would you do me a favor? And I say, what? I need a picture of that or that or that. And I'm like, you know, because I don't like to be in front of people. And sometimes the pictures require me to walk down an aisle of a church filled with hundreds of people and go take, or in a park where there are people watching, or ask a stranger, could you want to take a picture of us? That's very uncomfortable for me. I feel silly. I feel foolish. And yet, I smile and say, honey, where's the camera? And I go and I take the picture. Yeah, okay, kids, take, okay, smile, taking picture. Okay, take another one this way. And I'm like, there are 20 more kids waiting in line for to take pictures of whatever it is. And I'm like, okay, smiling, you know. Why? Because I love my wife. I love my wife. So, in my experience of why I do things that are foolish, I have come to realize that I do things because I love my wife or I love kids. I've been a pirate. Do I like being a pirate? No. But, you know, the kids' youth had a party. There was a pirate party. I've been a pirate. I've been Clifford. Of all things, Clifford. You know, I was in, and it was summer. Have you ever worn a Clifford suit in the summer? I went in weighing 135. I came out 115. It's hot. But I've been Clifford. I've been cowboy. I mean, Gladstone, the kids, we have cowboy theme. I dress up as a cowboy. I've been Adam's patch, that funny doctor with a nose. I've done that. Inside of me, my whole being is telling me, you're a fool. But outside of me, I'm going, but it's for the kids. It's for the youth. So I will do it. I've been Bible characters. I've been Jonah. I've been Moses. I've been, you name it. I've done that. I've been even safari guy, you know. I've done that. I've even been a car racer dude. They call me the car racer dude. At the Rose Quarters, they had that big evangelistic series. And I was the one hosting the kids, about 300 kids. And it was the racing theme. And I, every evening, got in my car, dressed this way, and drove I-5, 205, 84, got out. And people were looking at me like, what a fool. And all the time I'm walking, but it's for the kids. It's for the kids. It's for the kids. I've even raised money for the school. You wouldn't believe. In a dunking tank, you wouldn't believe the line I'd get. You think it was only the kids trying to dunk the pastor. There were some members there. And they kept putting the money I wanted. And they even said, sorry, pastor. Yeah, right. All those things I've done is, sometimes they're silly, foolishness. But I do them because I love the kids. I love ministry. I love my church. I love you. And it's the same thing when we go out and talk to someone, to talk to the world and talk to them about the cross to the world. That is foolishness. It is a crazy thing. Why would you talk about Jesus? The preaching of the cross is complete foolishness to the world. And could you imagine if the cross is foolishness to the world? Could you imagine when we go and talk to them about the Sabbath? The sanctuary? When we go and express to them about the second coming, the state of the dead? The spirit of prophecy? Oh, and you're really getting to be a fool there. The mark of the beast. Oh, here's another one where they think that's totally foolish. And since you're presenting it to me, you must be a fool. Christian living. You mean the Bible tells us how to act, how to dress, what to do, what to eat, what not to eat? That's foolishness. Health. Look at what 1 Corinthians 3:19 says. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross to you should be power. To the world is foolishness. And 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. We are all saved because someone was willing to be a fool for God and come speak to you about salvation, about Jesus Christ, about the cross. You know, this coming year, there will be many, many opportunities to be moroi for Jesus. Our personal ministries team is getting together because we want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you want to do that? Well, it's going to take a little bit of foolishness to be able to do that. It's going to take a little bit of setting self aside and thinking, oh, what a fool. I'm going to make myself a fool by doing that. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus enough to be a fool for him? Pastor Rojas has a song that I would like for you. He just kind of tells it right now as a poem. But just listen to it. It's talking about being a fool.
You know,
for Jesus.
It seems I've imagined him all of my life to be the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom was foolish to man, he must have seemed out of his mind. I mean, even his family said he was mad. The priest said the demons to blame. God, in the form of this strange young man, could not have been perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool, and he opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. And so we follow God's own fool. And only the foolish can tell. Believe beyond believable. Come, be a fool as well. So lay down your life for a carpenter's son, for a man there who died for a dream. You'll have the faith his first followers had, and you will feel the weight of the beam. So surrender the hunger to say, I must know, the courage to say, I believe, for the power of paradox opens our eyes and blinds those who say they can see. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool, and he opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. And so we follow God's own fool. And only the foolish can tell. So believe what you're waiting on. Believe. Come on. Come be a fool as well. Let us pray together.
Come be a fool as well. You know, that's not a very wise statement, I guess. But that's what the Lord is asking of us. If you follow me, the world will see you as a fool. Come, be fools for Jesus Christ. Come and preach the gospel, preach the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to make this invitation to all of you. Because all of us have said at one point or another, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is no longer I, me, the one that's always guarding myself from not becoming a fool. Because I don't want to be a fool. But I would be a fool for Jesus Christ. Come is the invitation. And be a fool for Jesus. What does it take? Love. Love for Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to sing about as we close this morning. Oh, how I love Jesus. Hymn number 248. 248. How I love Jesus.
I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name of earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. He tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. He tells me of His precious plan, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. He tells me wonders loving heart can fill my deepest warm. Who in its sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Father, this afternoon, we want to thank You first of all for Jesus Christ, for what He did for us. I'm sure a lot of people in His days might have thought that He was a fool for doing what He did. But Father, this afternoon I'm also asking that You may put that same spirit in our hearts so that we in turn could be the fools for Jesus Christ. That we would be willing to go out into the world to preach the message of the cross, to preach the love of Jesus, and most of all to preach that Jesus is coming back soon to take us home. And to the world, it will be foolishness. Help us to be strong. Help us to be faithful. Help us to love You more and more is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.